Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. God bless you, and welcome to Restoring Life Ministries as we do our weekly Bible lesson. Amen. We're back on again. This is Restoring Life Ministries. This is Pastor Ricardo Dalton, where we are continuing on our spiritual warfare series. Amen. We talked about before, finally, my brethren, you know, to come together, put on the armor of God. Let's fight together. Let's get this fight done. The enemy's got to destroy us. Let's gird about ourselves. Let's do what we need to do, even before we put on the armor. Amen. And then on Sunday, those of you who was not able to come with us on Sunday, amen, we ministered at Save the Serve Family Worship Center, amen, about tearing down or bringing down the wall, amen, the walls of Jericho, how God led Joshua back, amen, to a place in which he was once there before, and how God led him to a place where, to the natural eye and to how the Bible describes it as being impenetrable or impregnable, amen, how people tried to come and tear down his wall, but if he found it, we have to understand as men and women of God that it is not by might nor by power, but by the word of God, how we are able, amen, to subdue the enemy, how we are able to stand up against the tricks of the enemy, how we are able to defeat the enemy and have victory over Satan in our minds, in our bodies, in our emotions, in our atmosphere. Amen. It's all by the word of God and what God tells us in obedience to the word of God. Amen. So this is what we're continuing on tonight, spiritual warfare. And tonight we're talking about putting on the armor of God. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we glorify you for this day. For this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We give you all the glory, honor, and the praise, Father God. First and foremost, for you are our creator, Lord God. You are the one who made us. You are the one who created us, Lord God, created this world, Lord God. For you spoke one word, Lord God, and things began to happen. You said, let there be light, and light appeared. Amen. You said, let there be cattle and fowls in the air, and it became. Amen. You said, let the stars be in the sky, let it separate the night from the day, and it was. And then you went, well, Father God, you went even a step further, Father God, for you could have formed us with just a word also, but then you formed us, something so special, something, who are men that thou art mindful of him? And we thank you, Lord God, for being so mindful that you decided to form us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you today for just the simple things that astonish even our natural minds, Lord God. And Father God, even after you formed us, Lord God, out of the dust of the earth, Father God, you breathed into us one time. Father God, we thank you for that. For by one breath you gave man became a living soul. And that one breath lasted for generations to generations, Father God. That one breath lasted from Adam all the way to where we are today in 2015. It didn't say you kept on breathing life. You kept on breathing life. But at that moment, that you breath, you gave the breath of life. Amen. And by that one breath, you blessed us for eternity, Lord God. You blessed us, Father God. And we glorify you and we thank you for the simple things. In Jesus' name, Father God, that you will open up our minds on tonight, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Amen. We thank you for our connection to this radio broadcast that we're doing right now. But the enemy tried to cut it a few minutes ago, but the devil is a liar, and there is no truth in him. And we glorify you for you, our Father. Thank you for our daily bread. Thank you for what you're giving unto us now. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the maturing. Thank you for the growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with us to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Be a lot of stuff happening in these books, in these chapter 6. this is wonderful. Amen. It was Joshua 6 and Ephesians. We're just destroying the enemy every time we look around. The Bible just keeps telling us how to bring the enemy's walls down. Amen. We're in Ephesians. I almost said Joshua. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to start teaching on bringing the walls down again. Oh, Lord. We're going to touch on that somewhere up in here, too. Up in here. Thank you, Jesus. When Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 13, because last week we did from verse 10 to verse 12. So we're going to continue from verse, and it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 14, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the first. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the word. We're going to be expounding here and there, starting at the 13th verse. Amen. And like I was saying, the enemy desires to destroy your relationship with God. Amen. Because to be honest, he really doesn't really care too much about you as a person. Amen. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. Amen. He wants you to not acknowledge, to denote the power of God and who God is. Amen. So this is why we must wear armor. Amen. We're not just church goers. Amen. I had asked someone one time, they was questioning me about church and how things go and some things don't get done in most churches and this and that and the other. And I said, well, are you a church goer or are you a saint of God that's going to be active in the church? Because if you're just going to church, you can just go there and sit there every Sunday and just be one of them people that keep the benches warm or the seats warm. Amen. You can go there and just, you know, have a nice warm spot there that, you know, you're just going there. But if you're trying to get your life right, and if you're trying to get to change the way your mind is, and you want to preserve your mind, you know, amen, you want to keep yourself, amen, you want to be a soldier, that's what you want to do. You're going to be a soldier. Then you have to put on an armor, because you're more than just a bench warmer. You're more than just a seat holder. Amen. We are men and women, children of God, so where we have to be a practicing thing, where we're not just there just because, but it's not even about just going to church. It's about living a righteous life for God. Amen. For our Creator, doing what God said to do. And in order to keep doing what God says to do, you have to put on your whole armor of God before you can start going into battle of anything else. You know, you're dealing with your husband, you're dealing with your wife, you're dealing with the children, you're dealing with the problems in your job, you're dealing with the problems in your neighborhood, you're dealing with your own personal problems, the things that happened to you when you was young. You're dealing with problems of things that are happening to you right now. Amen. You're dealing with problems of, you know, things that you see that you don't know how to deal with. Amen. And the enemy puts so much things around you to cloud your mind, to cloud your judgment, to where sometimes it makes it even hard for you to even want to go and read the word, or makes it hard for you to even want to go and pray. Amen. Or just say a couple words to God. But as a fighter and as a soldier, that's one of my new favorite words. I'm a fighter. As a fighter, you're not going to sit back and just stand back and let someone keep whipping on you. Eventually, You know, you may not see it at first, or you may not know how to get out that situation at first, but something's going to rise up on the inside of you if you want to stay. If you make that decision to fight, I'm telling you, you make that decision to fight, and you say, I'm not going to sit back anymore. I'm going to move to the forefront and not the rear. I'm not going to let the enemy keep stomping on my head, but I'm going to, Bible says, my heel is going to bruise his foot, going to bruise his head. I'm going to bruise him with the heel of my foot. I'm going to stomp on him, put him under the dust of the earth. Amen. But when you make that decision, it's like, okay, here we go. The enemy doesn't want you to make that decision. He's going to do everything in his power to keep you from the word of God and the truth of the word of God. Amen. So we see here, amen, it says in verse 13, you know, wherefore take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You must be able to withstand. You must be able to be strong. You must be able to not just to stand, but to stand against what's coming towards you. Stand against those obstacles in your life. Stand against the thing that's trying to hold you down. Now, the enemy will come in many different ways. The Bible says to us that he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. So we already know that, hey, even if you didn't know you was a soldier, now you know you got to do some kind of fighting, because this dude is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're not going to let no one steal from you naturally, why the heck are we letting them steal from us spiritually? You're not going to let no one kill you physically, so why in the heck are you going to let someone kill you spiritually? You're not going to let someone steal and destroy you naturally or your family, but yet we sit back and we let the enemy do it day by day. You go from being a regular churchgoer or a regular child of God, praying every day, reading your word as much as you could, trying to get a relationship with God. Then you let the enemy sweep in and not notice him and let him sweep you from under the rug and let him start causing doubt or stop causing you to be more caught up into your career, where your career is more important to you. Now you don't got no time to pray because the director said you got to be here at a certain time, or your boss said you got to do this at a certain time. And you're like, oh Lord, now I got no time, but now I gotta, I gotta get to work. I ain't got no time to pray. But we limit ourselves, amen, to just saying, okay, I need an hour prayer at home. Sisters and brothers, you can pray on your way to work. You don't got to stop praying. You don't got to just pray in the house and go on your knees. That's all good. We did it the old school way. That's wonderful. But we limit ourselves. Oh, I didn't pray today because I had to go to work. Why can't you pray on the train? Why can't you pray on the bus? Why can't you pray while you're driving your car? Why can't you pray while you're in a taxi cab or you're sharing a ride with somebody else? You can tell the person driving you, oh, give me a couple minutes. I'm just going to pray real quick. I didn't get a chance to pray before I left the house. Let me pray right now. The enemy is strategic, so you got to be strategic. Amen? And you don't got to be all loud and boisterous and throwing the car. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, they're going to take you out the car until you listen. Get another way to work next week. You gotta be wise in the things that what you do. Amen? So man must always pray. The Bible tells us that. We must always pray. If there's nothing else that you can get tonight, I know we're going to get into a little bit about the armor, but if you don't get nothing else tonight, men ought to always pray. The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We get down, it says, give us our daily bread. Daily bread means we must communicate daily. Amen. It's all about relationship. One of my favorite words, is, and that's why I love this word, relationship. And now we got two words that I like. That's dope. I got all these words here. Like, yes, I do. I'm a fighter. And it used to be one of my favorite songs growing up in church. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. We can sing any other song. I get with it. I clap my hands. I stomp my feet. I wave my hand. But the minute they put on, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Woo! Let me tell you something. I thought I was a real soldier. I had my hands in my head, marching my feet, because I believe in fighting. Amen? I believe in fighting. I don't believe in going there fighting for no reason. But I believe in fighting for what you believe in. Amen? We got to be fighters, men and women of God. We have to be fighters. We have to not give up. We have to not hold back. We have to not give in but we have to press. Amen? The Bible tells us we must press toward the mark, which is the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, pressing don't mean I'm just walking and seconds move. No, pressing means I got to push something. I got to push. I can't sit back and just let anyone take over me. Oh, no, you don't. You're not going to get the best of me. I'm going to press. I'm going to keep on pushing stuff until I push it down. Amen. And no matter how you push, whether you push one way or somebody pushes another way, you got to push. Amen. So we see here that we have some objects, some equipment, outer and clothing wear that we can put on. Amen. We got some things that we can put upon ourselves that will help us towards this fight. Amen. We got some things that will help us. It says, in the evil day, I'm still in verse 13, the last part, and having done all to stand, verse 14 begins with, stand therefore. Now going from verse 13 to verse 14, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, you know, sometimes when you ever been sick or you've been hurt or you broke your leg or your back you knocked your back out, your back muscles are hurting you, or your back went out of you, you have some kind of injury or ailment or situation that causes you to either lay down in bed all day because you can't move, or sit down in a chair all day because it's hard for you to maneuver. And then the minute you got to go to the bathroom, you're saying to yourself, oh, my God, I got to get up. But you don't want to get up, but you got to get up. You got someone knocking on the door and you're the only one home. You're like, oh, boy, I got to get up. And you know the experience it takes you to do everything you could. Like I'm saying, I'm using it as an example for those of you who ever had ailments with your body or who had situations going on with your body or injuries, leg injuries, back injuries, anything that made it hard for you to go from a down position to an up position, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you had a friend, a family member, a grandmother, a grandfather, someone that was injured, walked past the hospital, seen them in a wheelchair, didn't teach or a friend that was in a situation. And you see how they're getting up, and your concern for them causes you to go over and say, listen, let me help you up. And they just seem like they're just struggling. Whether they're old or they're young and they're hurt, they're struggling to get up. But the Bible just now tells us, having done all to stand, after you done go away standing up, you done went past all the pain, you done went past all the bruises, you done went past all the things that would normally keep you down, but you just keep telling you, I just got to get up. I can't stay down here no more. I can't sit here no more. I can't lay here no more. Amen. This it reminds me of a testimony of man of Mike and Dee Dee Freeman. Amen. When they told him how long it's going to take him to get better, and he was in a sick situation, he began to get indignant, and he had a righteous anger. Amen. He says, I will not sit here and stay like this. And as he's getting mad and believing God at the same time, his hand begins to move. It may be shaking, but it's moving. And the doctors didn't think it should have been moving at that point in time. Amen. Listen, I'm trying to help somebody out there. We're going to get to the rest of it soon. This is a theory. We're going to be on this for a while. So don't rush it. Amen. Amen. You, there are some things in your life that want to keep you down. We've seen this commercial over and over and over. I've fallen and I can't get up. But there are some of you that say, listen, falling, I may have been down here for a while. I may have let the devil beat me up. I may have let my kids trample over me. I may have let the IRS deal with my finances. I may have let the job situation get on my nerves. I may have let my kids get to me. I may have let my mates get to me. I may have let my parents get to me. I may have let different situations in life just happen to beat me down. But I can't stay down here no more. It is time for me to get up. Arise and shine, the Bible says, for thy light has come. See, when you see, y'all better stop thinking I'm making me excited. Bible says, I believe it's in Isaiah, amen. Bible says, arise and shine, for thy light has come. I'm turning to it right now. So I want to make sure y'all get scriptural basis. Amen. Yes, it is. Isaiah 60, one of my favorites. There we go. Isaiah 60. Amen. When you're down there and you're just saying to yourself, I got to get up. I need to get up. I want to get up. I can't stay here no more. I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to lay down here and die. I'm not going to lay down here and give up. Not by might, nor by power, but by every word of the Lord. Come on, somebody. I can't stay here no more. I know this is Bible lesson, and it sounds like I'm getting excited, but get what you need to get. Write it down. Listen to it again. Listen to it three times. Amen? The Bible says in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, the glory of the Lord ain't going to rise upon you if you don't rise. Now, you're saying, but I'm trying, but I just can't seem to get there. Better yet, let me make it more dramatic for you. I'm down here. I don't know how to start moving. God is just saying, listen, baby, all you got to do is make the effort. I'll take care of the rest. Remember what we talked about a couple weeks back about that poem, Footprints, when Jesus was, it says, and the Son of God was walking with them, and then they saw one set of footprints. And Jesus said, well, listen, I knew you couldn't handle this part of the road. I knew you couldn't handle this part of the walk, so I carried you. I put you over my shoulders. I put you in my arms. I girded you up myself. I picked you up, and I carried you over this struggle. I carried you over this burden. I carried you over this situation. So all you got to do is just start walking, baby. Make that first step. Grab onto a bar. Try and pull yourself up. God is saying, I will help you out. I will lift you up. I will turn you around. I will place your feet on solid ground. I'm telling you, y'all don't even know. And I just saw another scripture that's going to go with the scripture that we're going to do later on. God knows what he's doing. Went to Isaiah 60. I saw a scripture in chapter 59, verse 16. You still talking about the breastplate. I'm going to read about that. Amen. See, God knows what he's doing. God knows. There we go. I need to get some more bookmarks into Jesus. Amen. But it's showing us, after you have done everything that you have able to do to stand, it was hard. We know it's hard. It was tough. You're breathing hard, catching your breath. Your arms are shaky from trying to pull yourself up. Your legs are they feel like spaghetti, and they're wiggling and waggling, and your toes are cramping up, and your back muscles are tightening up, trying to keep yourself from falling. But then the Bible goes to say something else. After you then did everything you could to do to stand, it says, stand. It says, stand right there. It says it again. I'll read it to you. I just read it. You don't believe me? Don't believe me, I'll show you right here. Verse 14, it says, well, let's go back to verse 13, the last part. It says, in having done all to stand, no, it's not easy. Stand, verse 14, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Amen. Having your loins girt about with truth. Now, if naturally I'm thinking of loins girt about with truth, I'm thinking of a belt. And to me, what does a belt do? A belt holds everything together. And what is the truth to me? The truth is my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and my life. See, he's the truth. There's only one true God. Thank you, Jesus. There's only one true God. So if I got this belt, the belt is holding my chaps up. And you know, those of you, who don't know what chaps is, that's your pants. Amen. That's your pants. Chaps. Amen. Back in the day. Okay, I'm not that old. Amen. My wife's sitting here nodding me saying, yes, yes, you are, baby. All right. She's calling me an old spirit. Thank you, Jesus. But you, it holds up your pants, and it keeps your pants up, and your shirt tucked in.
It holds things together. Your belt holds things together. The whole, some people wear their belt too tight. Some people wear their belt too loose, but yet they got a belt. And some people have Jesus so tight that they suffocate themselves and they can't move. Because they keep Jesus in one little tight knot knit thing. And some people, you see in the street most of the days, they don't wear the belt tight enough. They let everything fall apart and they wonder why they're not together. You wonder why you're not together because you don't have your belt on the right way. I like that. That's a new message. I'm a preset one day. Hey, man, but what is a belt? A belt, looking at historical background, a soldier's belt, or what they called it in the military, was not just an ornament. It was also an essential piece of military equipment. The belt was crafted to a very rough leather strip, amen, and it had some kind of brass plate which added extra protection, wrapping around the loin. Now, it's closely connected, and it shielded some of the most vulnerable areas of the body. So it was a whole piece all by itself. It wasn't just a belt, but it was a belt of armor which protected your loins, your groin area, your area of the most vulnerable sensitivity. Amen? Excuse me, y'all. Thank you. Man, take a little swag of juice real quick. Amen. So this shielded you from some of the most vulnerable areas. Now, when the soldiers would start preparing for battle, amen, when they would start preparing for battle, they would put on the belt first. It was designed to keep all the other pieces of the armor in place. So you want to keep the breastplate, shield, the feet shot, everything in place? Put your belt on. Amen? Put your belt on. Call to have your loins girt about is a call to be prepared. Amen. Jesus wants us to be prepared. The Bible wants us to be, God wants us to be prepared. As a good soldier, we are to maintain a good conscience. Amen. A good mindset, even with the loins girt about and ready to give an answer to anyone for any reason. Amen. This is just some stuff I have down for you guys. You can jot down 1 Peter 3:15-16. Amen. For your own personal study, 1 Peter 3:15-16. Also, the Bible tells us to be sober-minded. Amen. For those drinkers out there, saying, you can't tell me not to drink. Well, I'm not. The Bible is. The Bible says be sober-minded. Amen. And spiritually vigilant, so we are aware of our adversary when he prowls around us. 1 Peter 5:8. Amen. Now, there are different references in the Bible that talk about having your loins girded about with truth. Amen. Like, let your loins be girded about and your light burning. And in St. Luke 12:35, implying that his servants are always to be ready and watching for him. Amen. Peter also echoes that thought in 1 Peter 1:13, when he said, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end that the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's related. Amen. The belt is related, amen, upon the loins to be truth. Amen. To be truth. So it's not just something to hold you up, but it represents truth. And when you have truth, truth keeps everything together. Amen. One thing I would like to tell people, I love a truthful person. Amen. An honest person. But when you have Jesus Christ, you have the truth. And when you protect that truth, you keep that truth strong on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. Also, so first, it's the effort. The first to be girded with truth is to be firmly established in the truth of God's word. Amen. God's word is true. St. John 17:17 tells us that. And it's therefore a part of our foundation. Amen. So all the other pieces of spiritual armor. Jesus even said himself, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And if you want to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ, It's telling you right here. Amen. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples. Amen. Indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. No more change will abide in thee. Amen. If a man lives in sin or has the acts of sin and becomes or does sinful acts, he has his reward. But when a man turns and says, I want Jesus Christ, and I'm continuing in his word. Amen. I'm continuing in his word. Then I'm going to know the truth. The only way to know the truth, I'm going to say it again. You want to know the truth, you in the word. If you don't continue in the word, then you won't know the truth. If you want to have the truth, continue in the word. If you don't have the word, then you won't understand truth. Amen. You're saying, what's the purpose of life? Read your word. Why does God have me here? Read your word. You want to know the truth and the false about life and the circumstances? Read the word. The word, the Bible says, the word have I kept in my heart. Right upon the tablets of my heart. Amen. We must keep the word. The word must live and resonate and reside and breathe and brew on the inside of us. Amen. We can understand how the loins gird about with. Amen. The loins gird about with truth. My loins are gird about with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. My loins are gird about with the understanding of what Jesus is and what Jesus did and what he's doing. Amen. 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 You can reference some of these in that one. There's St. John 8, verses 31 to 32. Amen. 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 The belt helps you to give you, provides you with a certain amount of freedom of movement. You are not kept free from the enemy's lies by abiding in God's truth. It's protecting you. Amen. It's protecting you. It's protecting you. Amen. It's protecting you. The belt protects you. You have a belt on, or what we say when we used to, for some athletes, we wear a belted cup, which protects us in our most sensitive areas. Amen. And it gives you a certain amount of protection. So it's not just something where you just wear it and it just holds something together. But it also protects you from danger. Amen. Amen. This involves not allowing deceit and unconfessed sin to separate you from fellowship with God. Amen. You got to be a person of integrity, not a hypocrite, but by abiding in the truth, walking in the truth, and speaking the truth. It'll help you to become spiritually ready for everyday circumstances. Amen. Now, how are we to protect ourselves against this from Satan? Well, here's what Satan does. Satan will attack truth with lies. Look at what he did in the Garden of Eden. God said, don't eat the tree of life. Well, don't eat of this particular tree. But what did he do? What did he do? He used the truth and added a tidbit of something else to where it sounded good. You don't really acknowledge the lie at first. You don't really acknowledge it, but he's the father of lies. So when God says one thing, he's going to try and pervert what God said. Now, perverted does not mean, oh, people use the word perverted, and they may hear me say the word perverted online and on the phone, on the conference line, and say, oh, Pastor said perverted. What are you talking about? Perverted means to pervert or to twist things around. Amen. You told someone to go buy a pack of bread, you know, a thing of bread from the supermarket. That someone will pervert that and say, oh, he said go buy two pieces of bread and something else for yourself. They have perverted it, and now they have twisted the truth around. Amen. Now, Satan will attack the truth of God with lies to your mind. For he is the father of all lies. So St. John 8:44 says, he especially focuses on attacking, you know, God's promises. The promises that God has promised you, the enemy will try to attack that the best way he can. He does not want you to walk into the promise. He does not want you to live in the promise. He does not want you to habitate or to dwell in the promise. That's why the promise was made to Shem and Japheth, amen, and Ham's children was cursed, amen, and God told Abraham, upon all these things you see, I'm the best. Everything you see is going to be in your children. Amen. He gave him a promise of a certain land, flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise. Now, it's funny how the people who are supposed to possess the promise are the people struggling, trying to get out of bondage. Because the enemy wants to attack the truth. When you have some people saying, well, I know we're Israelites and we're the people, the chosen of God, but I just don't know anymore. It seems so hard. God doesn't speak to us no more. But God will always send someone. God will always send someone. If you don't know, God will always send someone. Because how are you supposed to know if the preacher is not sent? Amen? God will always make a way. It's, the thing is, we must open up ourselves to realize that God sent someone. We say, oh, no one came. It could be to your coworker saying one word to you. It could be to that bus driver you passed. That person in the street. We're always looking for it to come from a preacher or someone recognizable to come to us. Oh, the prophet called me out in service and told me that the Lord is going to bless me in a mighty way. But yet you won't listen to your coworker that says, you know what, God's trying to call you. You better pick up that phone. Oh, my coworker crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know Jesus. They don't go to my church, you know. My church got real preachers. I don't know what church she goes to. You're not supposed to talk to people like that. But then God will speak to you in so many different ways where you're looking for him in a church. He might not be speaking to you through that avenue on that particular day. You sitting there waiting for the prophet to call you out or for the evangelist to lay hands on you or for the pastor to say something good to you or for someone to do something great for you in the church. And you're sitting there waiting and waiting. And then you get mad because that prophet or the pastor or the evangelist or whoever he or she was called out Sister Susie or Brother Joe, and you mad as heck because they didn't call you out because you was waiting for your prophetic word when all you have to do is open up the thing called the Holy Bible. Amen. You got 66 different books in here that's full of prophecy, and if you want to understand God's prophetic word over your life, read anywhere from Genesis to Revelation and look at all the promises of God. Amen. The children of Israel went through a little thing in their minds where they were back and forth. Excuse me, where they were back and forth. Amen. And God led them to, amen, to the wall of Jericho, to the city of Jericho, where they had the great big wall around them. Now, the enemy will build walls in your life to the point where you don't think you're able to overtake them. God will always have a way of escape. God will always have a way of escape. And God, like I said on Sunday, God will use a foolish things to confound the wise. Amen? He will use the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen? But the enemy will do anything. He will try and cause doubt in your mind like he did in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say if the enemy, did God really say to do this? Did God really say not to do that? Oh, did you hear God correctly? If the enemy can get you to doubt God's word or the integrity and his goodness and his holiness and his perfectness, then you're on a losing battle until you start climbing your way back out of those ditches you're digging. Amen? Because one lie is going to lead to another lie. It's going to lead to another lie until you are utterly discouraged, confused, defeated, and indifferent to life. Now, when you fail to resist his attacks or fail to acknowledge his attacks, you may act upon the enemy's temptations, because now you give now you're vulnerable. Amen. Now you're vulnerable to what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to control your way of thinking. You don't think you're being controlled, but the minute you say it's so hard to get up to go to church, or it's hard to read my word, or it's hard to pray, but it's not hard to read one of these books that talk about nothing but sex, or one of these, it don't got to be a porno, but it could be a regular urban book that we read. Oh, it's so juicy. We can pick them up in a minute. We can read any other kind of book in a minute. Or we like to watch our favorite TV shows. We make sure we home on Wednesdays for 9 o'clock because we don't want to miss Empire. Amen? Or we make sure we where we want to be so we can watch another favorite show or go to a party and do whatever we need to do, whether it's legal or illegal, to do what we desire. But the thing is, it's, you're saying you're doing what you want, but the truth is, they're not even doing what you want. You're doing what the enemy made you think you want to do. You're doing what he wants. And that's how you know that you're under an attack and that you have fallen subject to his prey, because if it's so easy to do everything else, but it's so hard to do God's will, something going on. Something is going on. If it's so hard to do all the things that God wants you to do. Oh, preacher, it's hard for me to stop drinking. It's hard for me to stop fornicating. Whenever I see a woman or whenever I see a man, I just lose all control. Or it's hard for me to stop drinking because it tastes so good. They got liquor stores everywhere. And it's just so easy for me to go buy it. But it's hard for me to get $5 in the offering because I'm thinking about that liquor I want to get when I get back home. Or you're probably just a glutton. You can't give your money in church because you're thinking about eating everywhere and spending all your money on food when you leave. It's a glutton. And you don't got, all glutton don't got to be food. You're going to buy up everything, but you don't want to sacrifice anything. Amen. That's how you know you're under someone else's control. You have become the puppet to the puppet master. You can go to the club, no problem. It's easy for you to make plans to go to the club. It's easy for you to make plans to go hang out with your girlfriend. It's easy for you to make plans to go to the gym. It's easy for you to make plans to hang out with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's easy to make plans to go to work. You know, you say, well, that's what I have to do. I know some people that don't make plans to go to work. They just sit home all day. They don't care. But it's easy for you to make all these plans. But you say it's hard for me to schedule in church. Or I can't go to church this day because that's my rehearsal day. Who cares about rehearsal? It's about your soul, baby. Or I can't come to church today because normally on this day I rest. And didn't the Bible say to rest on the Sabbath? He sure did. This is Sunday. Get your butt up and come to church. Always. So, you know, I love to read. I just love to read. But, you know, it's so hard. I be planning to read my Bible. I say, okay, before I go to bed, why does the Bible God be something you just read when you first wake up before you go to sleep? But you could read Mary Claire or Dickerson or whatever these people's names are, and you, Jerome, whatever these authors' names. You could read their books on the train, going to work, lunchtime, in between work when you should be working, with your girlfriend, boyfriend over the house. You want to watch TV with you looking at your book. You could read these books and you join these book clubs. We should make a book club for Jesus. Amen. We go to these book clubs where we gather around to talk about a book. And this is how the enemy puts it out there. And you don't think it's the enemy, but he puts things out there to make you think like everything you're doing is okay. You got all these book clubs where people are reading all these other books, and the enemy is allowing all these other authors to get published books, get signing deals, get their books sold. So you're like, oh, best-selling book, let me get that. Now you jumping on the bandwagon when you have the best-selling book of all time, which is the Bible. Amen? You say, well, the Bible, you know, man wrote it and people changed things in it. Okay, same thing with your book on, they have a book called Best Love. They re-edited it 5 years ago. They changed it. It's written by man. They edit those. They add new things into those books. They add things that wasn't there before. So this is the author's copy now with maybe 2 pages extra, but you're paying a whole another $50 for it. Come on, y'all. Look at the attack of the enemy. Now you got book clubs and people going to book clubs, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people in a book club meeting 2-3 times a week for all type of stupidness. You know, we're going to sit here and talk about the book that we read throughout the week. Instead of, if you can find time to go sit with someone and talk about one chapter of what you read and have a whole discussion with cake and ice cream and wine and all this good stuff. You sit there for 2-3 hours, but yet you come to church and you fall asleep. And it's not interesting to you because it's not the best seller in your mind, because the enemy has already confused your mind to think that these other things are so much more fun and so much more important. And now when you come to church, you don't want to talk to somebody about the Bible. You feel stupid. Well, I don't really know that much about the Bible. You didn't know that much about that book until you read one chapter either. But yet the enemy will make that seem so much more easy to do. The Bible's so hard to read. But yet you read, but yet you're a doctor and you can read doctor books. You know, you went to college for 10 years, but the Bible is hard to read, especially nowadays with all these additions and making it easier for your mind. Where, by the way, if it's not King James, let it be an ESV. Amen. Not even a new King James or a new International Version. Some of these things are just retarded. You got Bibles now where they're taking out that Mary wasn't even a virgin. You got stuff taken out that Jesus walked on the water. You got things with it, but yet us Christian folk are buying it. They're saying, you know, that makes more sense to me. No, that makes more sense to the enemy to make you think. I can deal with that because it don't sound realistic that he did this. But yeah, you got people dressing up like superheroes, paying $107 to go hang around each other in Comic-Con, acting like they're superheroes. People dressing like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. But you don't want to come to church and put on a robe for God. You don't want to come and put on a collar for Jesus. You don't want to come and praise the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Well, it don't matter how you look. But yet you got people out there want to be dressing up like anime. I don't even know what anime really is. Amen? Did you watch all this anime? We got Christians that watch all this anime and wonder why they have problems with lust, because all this anime is people dressing half naked, kicking somebody's butt or doing something or speaking some kind of Asian language, and most of the time they're half naked doing stuff. Or look at most of the superheroes. Why all the superheroes got to wear tights? Now, I used to watch Superman, but I got tired of watching it. I got tired of watching a man walking around in his underwear. But yeah, we make fun of people in the Bible for wearing robes and ephods and certain garments and stuff like that. But you think it's okay and you'll spend all your money to go watch a movie with a man flying around in his underwear. Oh, that was a great movie. You saw how he went from Superman to Clark Kent? Yeah, he put a suit on and put glasses on. Whole nother person. But you feel stupid walking around with a collar on for Jesus. Or you feel stupid holding your Bible. But you don't feel stupid going to a party on Halloween dressing like a character and saying, I look sexy. I look nice. Look at me. I'm Catwoman. You're going to hell. You ain't Catwoman. Your name is Josephine or Susie. I know I say Susie a lot. The only word that comes to my mind first. But You want to pretend to be all this other stuff, and you don't know what you're doing to your spirit. So you may say, oh, this is why I don't go to church. The church got so many rules. You go to work to get a paycheck. Why not go to church to get some life? Or you rather go downstairs than upstairs. Oh, well, I'm going to go upstairs because I'm a good person. Well, good for you, because the Bible says the only way to get to heaven is to be saved and know Jesus and recognize him as your Lord and Savior and confess him with your mouth and believe him in your heart. Well, I tell Jesus I love him. Well, tell me you love him when you're going downstairs. We'll send you a postcard. We'll look down on you. Probably, matter of fact, don't want to look down. This may sound rough to some of y'all, but we got to get it together, people. We got to save the lost at any cost. We got to stop cutting corners. We got to stop saying, okay, well, I'm going to let this guy that's homosexual become a minister in my church, not because God told me to, but because I want all the gay people in the neighborhood to know that they can come over here. So if he's a minister and leading the choir, why do most choirs have, and we need to understand the spirit, why do most choirs in the world got homosexuals? To where straight men don't want to join the choir because they don't want to be associated. Now, I'm not saying don't let them join the choir. I'm saying they come to church and they come in there, they become a part of your establishment and part of what God is doing in that ministry. Of course, welcome them with open arms. I don't care if they're a drunk person. I don't care if they're homosexual. I don't care if they're a lesbian. I don't care if they're a murderer. I don't care if they're a suicide killer. You know, I should have said no, but bring them to the church. Let them come in, open the doors. If they want to sing, let them sing. But listen, before you start giving them rule over other people's spirit, you want them to lead the praise and worship team. You want them to lead praise in your house. You better make sure that they're getting delivered. Now, I said they're not all the way delivered, but make sure the deliverance process is starting. Too many leaders is letting people do whatever they want to do in the church. Letting people do whatever they want to do. Talking to the leader any old kind of way. Talking to the people of God any old kind of way. The enemy is confusing your mind with what is reality, with what is should not be going on. Bunch of shenanigans. We got to get our mind right in so many areas. Now, some people are going to listen to this and say, well, that's why I don't go to church. And I'm going to say, well, listen, we're going to keep preaching the same thing. If you want to go to the church, well, they let you do whatever you want to do, then that's up to you. But I wish you would not and find a place to go. You don't got to come to my church, but then you better get someplace where they're teaching holiness. Because holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. So I think we're almost out of time. I got a couple minutes left up here. And I told you it's going to be a series because the way it's going, I'm going to get to one scripture a week. So we got about 3 more scriptures to go. So we're going to, and that, I didn't even finish this whole scripture because this scripture had the best state of righteousness with it. So we're going to see what happens next week. Shoot, next week we're going to see if we can get it for 2 hours. We just keep going. Hey, man, I just pray that, y'all, that everyone that listens to our broadcast, and I thank God for the opportunity to be on Blog Talk Radio, which is a talk radio where we can broadcast how we feel, amen. We have the freedom to do what we want, amen. And we can come on here and talk about Jesus and say Jesus' name a million times, amen, without someone saying you can't do that, amen. And we thank God for those who have been getting saved through this broadcast, those who are being getting delivered through this broadcast, those who are just getting an eye-opener, amen, through this broadcast. We thank God for all of you who have come on. We are reaching over 100 callers, and I thank God for all that have supported and prayed with us. My wife and I are grateful, amen, Pastor Janie Dawson, you know, myself, we are grateful, amen. We are grateful, amen, and we thank God for you. And we thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for us that God will send the people that need to hear the word, that they will hear the word. Amen. And we just want to bless God. Amen. If you feel like you want to be a partner with our ministry, the ministry that God has given us, if you want to partner with us, amen, you can feel free to do so, and you can contact us Amen. As we strong in life, cwdministries@gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you would like to do. If you want to partner with us and you want to bless us with an offering, amen, as God puts on your spirit, amen, and you want to help us grow, we still desire, amen, to build a recreational center, amen, for the youth in our community. We're in Brooklyn, New York, for youth in our community where we teach spiritual godly principles, amen, according to the word. There are other recreational facilities, but they don't talk about Jesus, amen. They don't talk about holiness and living right. They tell me, you know, no violence and the things that they needed to do to get the grant. They do what they need to do, amen. But we want to preach holiness to these young men and women of God, amen, that they can grow holy and know that it's okay to grow holy, amen, that you're not a punk if you're a boy going to church, or that you're not a square if you're a female going to church, but that you can go to church and still, that you can go to church and still have fun. You can still enjoy yourself. You can still have a great life and a great career and build a family and fortune. Amen. So we just want to put that out there for anyone that wants to give. Amen. Feel free to send us an email with your love offering. Amen. And we thank God for you. We bless God for you. Keep listening. Keep getting stronger in the word of God. If you're a minister or if you're a person that does not have a church home or a family, spiritual family to come with, we'll open up our arms to you. If you want to be a part, send us an email, amen, or give us a call, amen, 929-234-1969. Contact us, call us, we'll pray with you. Morning Glory tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. for Pastor J.D. Dalton. Amen. Tomorrow morning, 6:30 Eastern Time. 6:30 Eastern Time. God bless you. Father God, we bless you for everyone that was on here tonight with us as they leave this conference call. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good.